This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frieda Liu and you're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise. And Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership, proving that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Daughter of the prolific Osman Hafsham is paving a unique path for herself in Malaysia's entertainment industry. Today on the show, we have the multi-talented Charmaine, who has dipped herself in stand-up comedy, theatre, television and film writing. Anything I missed out?
No, you've got all of it.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, thanks.
Now, I know, Charmaine, you're a regular on BFM, but yes. I don't think we've ever spoken to you.
No, this is my first time.
Right?
Yeah,
it's about
talking
time.
To you. It's about time, yes.
Now, tell us about your journey, how you got into full-time writing.
Okay.
And then I guess how that ventured into comedy.
Comedy, yeah. So what happened was I studied performing arts in Melbourne. And then when I came back in 2006, my parents were like, you need to get a day job. So I got a day job. I got three different day jobs. Yes, to pay the bills.
Okay.
But on after work, I would do plays at KL Pack. You know, I would join the Short and Sweet Festival. And that's where I started writing short plays for the Short and Sweet Festival. And I enjoyed writing and people said that I could write. So then that's when I started. I was still having my day job. I started writing for my father. And then I think 2013, Project Disco Baldi got the Disco Baldi show. And I had to quit my job to do that full time. And I took the leap of faith and quit my job. And yeah, I've been doing that since.
Five years on, right?
Yeah, 5 years.
And so you were saying that your full-time job, what were you doing?
Okay, my first job, I was a broadcast journalist on NTV7 for 6 months. Yes, that was very exciting. And then for 2 years, I was assistant artistic administrator at the Malaysian Philharmonic Orchestra. So I was doing a lot of admin work for the orchestra. And then for 3 years, I was at Royal Selangor doing PR and communications.
Okay, so always communication.
Communications, writing, artsy. So always kept myself in sort of like the creative field. Yeah.
Okay, so this is obviously, so you're the youngest daughter.
Yes.
Of Encik Osman, or is it Dato' Osman?
Encik.
Okay, but so how was he an influence in your life?
How was he an influence? Well, he always took us to locations. Like, we were always involved. He would have shoots in the house. Mm. When he used to produce Pima Pimai Tang 2 and 2 Plus 1, so he would have a recording every 10 days or every 2 weeks, and he would bring the entire family. So we grew up with it. So we saw him working. We knew what it took to, put on a TV show. So I guess that was how I got my education when I was a kid. So yeah, just watching him work. He's got a great work ethic. He's a workaholic. Okay. So I think that's how he influenced us. And he always said, to make it in comedy, you have to be committed. So
okay, so and this is obviously it influenced you, but it didn't influence your sister.
Yeah, well, my sister, she used to write for my dad as well.
Ah.
Yeah, and she and my brother used to work for him. But when I think the economic crisis happened and then he sort of had to downsize the company. Mm. So they ventured off on their own. So he was running it. But now, I'm thinking of, I have started sort of working with him again. Slowly, maybe, not taking over the company, but run it for him,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now you are obviously all these things, writer, comedian, actor and director. How do you compare and contrast? Before the screen, theatre, and all that, how is that different?
It's very different, I guess, in terms of reaction and also process. If you do theatre, it's 2 months rehearsal period. You get a lot of time to to work on your material, work on the show. With TV, sometimes when you're working with TV stations, you're given a very tight deadline because it's up to the channel. They give you 6 weeks, or 2 months, and there's really not enough time for script development. But you do the best that you can. So I guess in that sense, there's a difference in the preparation time. Mm. Also, when you do theatre, the reaction is very immediate. You do TV and, it gets aired and you know, you get tweets and, you know, Facebook mentions, but, you know, it's, you know, it takes quite a while. So I guess that's the difference, lah.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's, but that's more behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, yeah. Now. But doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Comedy. How did you get into that one?
This was like 4 or 5 years ago. And then my friends were like, oh, you know, you should like try and do stand-up comedy. Because they said I'm funny. So I said, okay, I'll try. So I did 3 minutes at Time Out's Comedy Thursday. Mm. And then they called me back for 5 minutes. And then they called me back for 7 minutes. And then they, you know, they keep calling. So if they like you, they keep calling you back and give you like a longer set. And then I think Joanne Kam came to one of my shows and she asked if I wanted to open for her. And then that's when I started doing the Super Kam shows with her.
Okay.
So I really like stand-up comedy as a writer because there's no censorship. So this is the thing that I enjoy the most writing, but it's also the toughest.
I know.
Yeah. I enjoy it, but it's also the toughest. Like, I get so nervous, you know, like, because, you know, you don't know what works, right? You're there on your own, on stage with a microphone, and you don't know it will work until you test it out. Right. So it's always a bit nerve-wracking, yeah.
I think of all the performances, right? I mean, one of the things like, wow, if I can do stand-up comedy, I think that's the final frontier.
Final frontier.
Because it is like, if you're not good, it's immediate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you just have one job, is to make people laugh. And it's so hard to make people laugh.
What sort of topics do you normally cover?
I usually do the usual, you know, dating and weight loss and dating and mother pressuring me to get married. The usual, yeah. I do, you know, wonder like if I'll ever like change, you know, the topics. Uh-huh. But for now, I'm happy. Because I always believe, like, you know, when you do comedy, you talk about the things that you're obsessed about. Mm. And I guess at this point, I'm a bit obsessed about that.
but it's very different, right? I mean, writing for comedy and writing for this stage performance, that kind
very
of thing, it's very different.
Very different, yeah. Because you're also writing for, you know, an actor to play that character. And, you know, the different characters have different voices, you know, different ways that they speak. But with stand-up comedy, it's just you, you know. You're sort of like, you know, presenting your brand as a comedian, yeah. Right. So it's
And with television, again, that's different as well.
That's different. I mean, television, like, you know, so many things I can't do on TV. Mm. And there's censorship and, you know, with like TV audiences, they're so sort of segregated. There's like the urban, the mass. So you have to know these things, like, who am I writing for, you know? Am I writing for the urban or the mass or the urban mass?
Urban mass.
Okay. So it's always tricky, yeah.
Okay, so and then that sort of like a decision, then that sort of sets the pace for the rest of the writing.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Okay, so that's not easy. I'm just wrapping it around my head at the moment to be able to do that. Yeah. So you say that what are your favorite projects so far?
Favorite projects would have to be the Disco Baldi show, mm-hmm. one of my favorites, because it was an idea we had like at a Mamat shop. Mm.
We're all great ideas developed.
Yeah, right. So I mean, from that, and then to having our own like sketch show, which felt kind of like, you know, our own version of Saturday Night Live, because we had a musical guest in every episode, and we got a celebrity guest, and they would do the sketches with us. So yeah, I really enjoyed the Disco Baldi show, and I guess that was the first job I did as a full time freelancer. So it meant a lot to me. I mean, I think it set the path for the rest of my writing jobs. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, the Disco Baldi show. Okay. And also, you know, working with it with 7 other friends. Mm. So that was fun, yeah.
Okay. So when you do also like movie films and plays and all that, what sort of themes you normally cover?
Themes, I like to explore like relationships, dysfunctional relationships, because I think I have a lot of experience in that. So I think like with Chua, you know, there was the interracial couple. With Poly Zombies for KL24 Zombies, there was the husband with the 4 wives. Mm. So, yeah, I like writing about, dysfunctional families. Also love. I'm a bit of a romantic. So, yeah, I like writing about your dysfunctional relationships and love, yeah.
we just work on our own experiences.
Our own experiences, you know. Yeah, write what you know.
Okay, now, in 2012, you made your directorial debut in Chuak, right?
Yeah.
And that's a romantic comedy of Malaysian proportions, where it's comprised of 5 short films threaded together. Tell us that experience.
Okay, so Michael Chen, the producer, called me up one day. The line was very bad. And he said, do you want to be part of this film with 5 directors. I thought he had called me to act in it. And then he had sent me an email. And then when I read the email, he wanted me to be one of the directors. And it was my first time directing. Mm. And I've never directed before. But he liked my writing because he had seen some of my short plays for Short and Sweet. So I said yes because I like a challenge. So yeah, I worked together with four other male directors. we worked out all of our individual stories. And we kind of, all five of us kind of went away and shot our short films and then came back together and sort of like previewed it a few times with Kai, who edited it. So that's how the film was made. In terms of my particular shot, I decided to write about interracial marriages because, you know, well, I'm a product of an interracial marriage. My brother, you know, had an interracial marriage. So it was a subject very close to me, very dear to me, which I wanted to explore for Chua. Yeah.
Did you enjoy directing?
Yeah. It was Kai was my DOP, so he helped me a lot. So I think he made my first experience very pleasant. So I think that's why I continued directing. Yeah, so really enjoyed Chua. Yeah.
Your future, the future in a comedy for women, we'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm with Charmaine Osman. You're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Enterprise. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, of course, it's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I've got Charmaine Osman here with me, who is a comedian, also writes for theatre, television and film, and also directing, and what else does she not do? You know, I want to talk a little bit about, you see how TV has changed. We've got Netflix, iFlix, yep, that sort of thing. Where do you see the future in terms of that space?
I guess
more opportunities?
I think so. I think slowly, like, you know, like stations like Astro and Media Prima, they're sort of realizing there's a lot of competition with like online digital streaming platforms, especially when it comes to comedy, because they realize a lot of people are getting comedy online where there's no censorship. So comedy on TV does suffer.
Right.
So it, I have noticed that these stations are slowly pushing comedy content on their digital platforms. So I think in terms of like local comedy content, I think it's slowly going to move towards online platforms rather than on our TVs. Yeah. I think in terms of content, we're still, you know, we still have this thing called censorship.
Right.
So it's very hard to change. But there are some stations. I mean, Astro, they're, you know, pushing out more edgy stuff. I think the trick is to just continue to push those stuff out until, you know, the mass like it, enjoy it. For now, it may be something new, something different, but I think they should just keep continuing giving them what's good, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And have you been involved with Comedy Central?
Comedy Central, I did their Stand Up Asia show last year. With Comedy Central, it's a bit tricky because you know, it's aired all around Asia, and because of the language, it's very hard. So they like a lot of physical stuff. So, but I think they're looking into producing more sort of like a, you know, like a maybe low budget show that may appeal to like three markets, you know, that speak English.
Okay.
So it is very challenging to do comedy in this region, yeah, because of the languages.
What do you mean by physical stuff? So more slapstick?
More slapstick stuff, yeah. More like prank shows, you know. You don't really need to...
Mr. Bean,
yeah. Or Just for Laughs, you know. You don't really need to
hear
them talk, but you see the actions, yeah.
Something, I guess, a bit more universal.
Universal, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so in terms of comedy as well, right? I think you're like one of five, right? I mean, and they're up and coming, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But why do you think that's so challenging for women to go into comedy?
It's so challenging because there's already this, you know, pre-notion idea that women are not funny. So it's very hard.
Women are very funny.
Yeah. But, you know, there's this, you know, idea where, you know, all these male comics, you know, they perpetuate this idea that, you know, female comics are not funny. So imagine going into something knowing there's already this, you know, idea that, you know, women are not funny. So it's very, very intimidating, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I think as, you know, a female comic, our job is to sort of encourage the other comics. But I think, yeah, a lot of women don't go into it because of that fear. Yeah. But I say, like, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. Uh-huh. Because it's really nice when we do have the all-female, like, one mic nights, right? It's really nice when you see, like, just 14 female comics going up on stage and talking about their dating life and everything. It's really, it's quite empowering. So, yeah, I think, I mean, maybe in the next 10 years we'll have, like, 15, 20, fingers crossed. Right. Yeah, but I think our job as the, you know, more established female comics is to just keep encouraging them, yeah.
Do you see you doing anything full-time or it's going to be, you know, writing, directing?
I think it's going to be this, yeah. It's going to be this, yeah.
Until something takes over more aggressively.
I think I'm slowly maybe moving more towards directing and producing. Mm-hmm. I'll still keep the stand-up comedy because, you know, I have, you know, liberty to do anything I want with comedy, right.
That's your release.
That's my release, exactly, yeah. As much as it's, you know, so nerve-wracking, but when you get up on, it's like therapy, like, it is like therapy.
You're going to hear my problems.
Yeah, hear my problems and laugh at it. Thank you, yeah.
Now, you've got a couple of awards and nominations, right? For Best Group Performance for Project Disco Baldi, Kaki Seni Audience Choice Award, and Best Original Script for Project Disco Baldi.
Yeah.
You know, what do these awards mean to you? Are they, is there one that's more meaningful to you?
I guess with Project Disco Baldi, they're all meaningful because it's something that I did with a bunch of friends. Mm. So, you know, they're like family to me. So, and we won the first show that we put on. We won Audience Choice and Best Script. So it was very meaningful award because it kind of like, you know, told us like, okay, people like what we're doing. So let's keep doing it. Because when we did our first show, our budget was like 500 ringgit. Oh. 500 ringgit, like really minimal, really like, you know, empty. So, you know, to, you know, win awards for a 500 ringgit show, like, we were very, not bad, yeah. And I think that was our strength, I guess, in Project Disco Baldi was the writing. I wrote the sketches and also Reza Minhat and Ashraf Zain. So the three of us wrote the sketches. So I think that was where our strength was and helped me a lot in terms of like comedy writing training. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you talk about all these awards as well, right? What about some projects that are upcoming?
Upcoming, well, I guess I can say it here, but I'm planning to do my 1 hour woman show. Because I do Supercam with Joanne and Sharul Chana, and Sharul has done 3, Joanne has done 1. So they've been bugging me to do mine. So I'm working on it. So fingers crossed, third or fourth quarter.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, I'm producing and directing 2 Raya specials for Astrowarna.
Okay.
So I did 1 season, Pecah Perut. It's a comedy sketch show in Malay. So I'm doing 2 Raya episodes. Yeah.
Okay. So this the third quarter, fourth quarter thing.
Yeah.
Have you started preparing for it?
Yes, I have. I've started writing my material.
Okay. Then you practice it on someone, right?
Yeah, I do. Actually, Jinhan, he's sort of like my go-to person. Okay. I also test with Joanne as well. So yeah, I will test it on them. So I think I'm giving myself until June, July to see whether my material works. Okay. You know, if it works, then, you know, for sure, you know, third or fourth quarter. If it doesn't, maybe I need more time to work on it. But yeah. I'm working on it, and I guess I want to, you know, do what I do best, but also give them something different. Yeah.
I like how you're, you know, touching your voice.
I know, right? I'm really rubbing my hair, like got migraine. Oh no.
Okay. Yeah. So, have you thought of venturing out of the country?
Out of the country, yes. I think one of my goals is to do a show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, only because I study in Melbourne.
Okay.
So I think it would be a nice, like, 360, like, full circle. Because when I studied in Melbourne, I used to go to the Comedy Festival every year. So it would be nice, you know, do a show there. And I have a couple of my uni mates who have turned into comedians, and they do the shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. So I think, that's the one of the goals. It's not easy.
Okay.
You know, you got to produce the show yourself. So you got to raise your own funds. Oh. But yeah, I think that's the goal to, Yeah, do a show in Australia.
No, no deadline for that?
Self-imposed
deadline?
I have a lot of deadlines. Because I'm turning 35 this year. So there's a lot of deadlines actually this year. So I guess the next deadline is 38 maybe. Yeah. Okay. Before 40 lah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people are very ambitious and very hungry. And, you know, I think we live in this era of everything has to be now, quick. I would rather do things when I'm ready. Okay. I don't want to rush into it. Like, I want to do it right.
Let it happen organically.
Happen organically, yeah. You know, there are newer comics, newer comedians who, you know, are going to Melbourne and all of that. And people are like, you know, don't you want to go? And I'm like, no. Now it's their time. Good for them. Let them go. I'm just not ready yet. I want to do this when I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're ready, we're looking forward to when you're ready.
Yes.
Your name. I'll remember this and say, hey, Melbourne, we made it.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Charmaine Osman, comedy, theatre, television, film writing, you name it. She's done it. You've been listening to Enterprise and Her Vantage, BFF 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.